Now for an observation. Our world and our relationships are getting more and more disembodied, if you know what I mean. We connect to people and have relationships with people over the internet. We form one-way relationships with people who we probably know more deeply than people in our actual lives from watching reality TV shows and things of that nature. We do as much as we can to connect with people without being physically present with people. And for all the good that technology has, and I'm not like downplaying how convenient and good some technology is, we still, I think, sense, even in these mediums, our need for touch, physical touch. So like on Facebook, there's this button that you can click and you can poke someone. Isn't that interesting? You know? And then people in Twitter and postings, they have symbols that they put for, that try to communicate hugs that they want to give to someone. So we still sense our need for touch. And that's because we are embodied people. We are souls that are wrapped up and inextricably linked with bodies. We experience the world through our bodies. We need to experience human physical touch. There are numerous studies that suggest that appropriate physical touch actually helps us in ways like lowering our anxiety, makes us feel protected and safe, helps to build connections and bonds with other people, and we know that just from experience, and even for some people it decreases their aggression if they experience appropriate, loving human touch. This Advent season, we are celebrating and just reflecting on the mystery that God took on flesh, that God himself became embodied, was incarnated, and the incarnation of God's name was Jesus. And this is what we explore during this Advent season. And last week we said that one of the reasons, probably, that God became flesh was so that we could see with our eyes the invisible God. And this morning, the reason that we are looking at for why God became flesh was so that we could feel God's touch. And so as each week, we're going to be looking at the importance of the incarnation of Christ, and then we'll be looking at the implications for an incarnational church. So the incarnation of Christ. God became flesh so that we could feel God's touch. And we have this very short story in Mark 1. To illustrate this. And now the term here for leprosy, this a man with leprosy comes up to Jesus, and this term could mean any number of skin diseases in the ancient world, but just so that you guys can maybe picture a little better what this scene might have looked like, I have some pictures up on the PowerPoint of some people who have leprosy. Okay, so these are images of what Jesus might have looked at. When this man approached him with leprosy. A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling, he said to Jesus, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose, be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Now, there are a couple things that we know that are really important to this story. One of the things that we know is that Jesus had the power to heal from a distance. So there are stories where people come to Jesus and say, "Hey, I have a servant or someone at my house who's dying, and he needs to be healed." And when the person goes back to their home, they are healed. Jesus has healed them from a distance. So we know that Jesus can do this. And we also know that leprosy is not only a really contagious and dangerous disease, but it was also something that if you came in contact with it in the Jewish culture, you would be religiously, spiritually unclean, which is an image of being separated from God in some sense, or separated from what God's desire for humanity is. And so people with leprosy or other skin diseases in the Jewish community would have to announce that they had this skin disease to people, and they weren't supposed to come into contact with them or even come near them. And so the fact that this leper even comes near to Jesus is kind of breaking the rules just a little bit. And so all of this is to say, putting these two things that we know together, if ever Jesus were to engage in a distance healing, this would be the time, right? Both for physical reasons and for religious reasons and for all of these things, it would make a whole lot of sense for Jesus just to kind of say, all right, just stay over there. Poof, you're healed. But that's not what happens, is it? And Mark makes this very dramatic because Mark doesn't just say, and Jesus healed him. Mark says that moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. And he gives us this image of Jesus touching this man's face. And the word for touch there is not a, like, you know, pat on the shoulder or with it. It's a forceful word. That when Jesus touched this man, something happened. It was a firm, bold touch. And two commentators on actually another healing story, to paraphrase them, they say that Jesus is so powerful that instead of the man's disease and his uncleanness passing to Jesus, instead what happens is that Jesus' healing power pass to the man with leprosy. That's a powerful touch, and it's a powerful message to us of what God came here to do. Now, one of my little anxieties in life, and, you know, I thought I should have put a picture of this up there, but I didn't. Maybe that's part of my little anxieties, I don't know. But large spiders, kind of, not one of my favorite things. You know, the tarantula kind of big spiders. And, you know, I just really, more than anything else, I just think they're gross. But also, they can be dangerous. And they're creepy. You know, the other day I actually walked away from my bathroom sink and I kind of felt like what I thought was like a thread hanging down from my shirt under my arm, and I looked down and there's this little spider crawling on my arm. Like, and it was a little one, but still, they can just be anywhere, right? And, you know? Now, for me, and for others of you who are maybe like me, to be in a room with a large spider or tarantula is one thing. To see one of these spiders is another thing. And to intellectually know that all of these creatures are God's little creations is one thing. But for me to stretch out my hand and touch one of these things is a whole other step. Isn't it? To tolerate the presence of a man with leprosy in Jesus' day was one thing. To even be in proximity to a person with leprosy or some other skin disease is one thing. And to have compassion on them and to know that this is a child of God is one thing. But to reach out and stretch out your hand and touch them is a whole other step. And this is exactly what God does. We live in a world with plenty of reasons to fear and have anxiety beyond large spiders and skin diseases. And Jesus came into this world and not only coexisted with all of these reasons for fear, but he reached out and touched some of them. In this passage, Jesus touches the face of this man with leprosy. A few chapters later in Mark 7, a man who cannot speak, a man who's mute, comes up to Jesus, and Jesus touches his tongue. Now, some of you get really anxious when we share communion by intinction and share a cup, okay? Jesus comes up to this man and grabs his tongue and heals him. And in chapter 8, Jesus rubs his hands with dirt and touches the eyes of a blind man. And then in Mark 14, this woman who's described as a street woman, comes up to Jesus and starts washing his feet with her hair and her tears, and he allows her to touch his feet. Touch, in all of these situations, communicates a fearless kind of love. Where Jesus knows for certain that the healing power of God is greater than the power of any disease. And Jesus comes and he touches sinful people because he knows that the forgiveness of God is far greater than any of our sins. And he enters into and experiences in a very physical way death itself because he knows that the life power of God is greater than the power of death. To touch the untouchable is an act of boldness and of trust and of a love that casts out any fear. So, how do you picture God? You know, last week we talked about how in the Gospels we get to see this picture of who God is. But how do you normally picture God? Do you kind of see the old strong, white-haired, white-beard man that we see in like Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel? Is that your image of God? Or is your image of God kind of like this bright, radiant light shining out there somewhere? Or is your picture of God in your head eerily similar to Santa Claus? You know, he sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, and he's making a list and checking it twice, trying to find out who's naughty and nice, and he gives good presents to those who've been nice, and bad things and cold to those who've been naughty. Is that kind of your picture of God? And if it is, let me suggest that this little story become what you see in your head when you picture God. Because that's who Jesus is. Jesus, God, reaching out his hand and touching the untouchable. This is who God is. And that touch, it doesn't just heal a disease. The physical touch tells us that we are accepted and received and loved and embraced way beyond just healing a disease. And so when you feel separated from God, and distance from God, and like whatever it is in your life, whether it be your circumstances or something, your attitudes in your mind that you know, or things that you've done and you feel separated from God, this is the picture of God to hold on to. A God who reaches out and doesn't just say you're forgiven, but who touches you and brings you healing in his grace. Jesus came, God became flesh, so that we could feel God's touch. Which all begs the question, if the church is the body of Christ, then, now, if the church is the physical representation of God in the world now, just as Jesus was the physical representation of God in the world when he walked the earth, what does that mean for us? I would think that part of our call is to help the world understand that they are embraced by God. And to do that in physical ways. Now, this part of the whole sermon is, I know, kind of a touchy subject, pun intended, because this congregation is particularly kind of a touchy-feely congregation, right? We like to say, we're huggers here, right? Amen? All right. And I know that before I got here, there was some conversation about how appropriate some of that was, and I know that some of you were very kind of hurt by that and felt like that part of your personality was being taken away in some sense. And I have come to appreciate in many ways the hugs and the ways that our congregation connects in physical ways. But there is something very important about the whole conversation you had before I got here and that I need to mention this morning so you don't feel like I'm giving a carte blanche to just touch whoever, whenever, however. Okay? Because if physical touch is an expression of love, the thing about expressing our love is that it really doesn't matter how you want to express it. It doesn't matter if you're a hugger. It doesn't matter if this is one of the ways that you communicate love to someone. What really matters when it comes to love is what helps the other person to feel loved. Okay? So this is the key in all of this. So we have to, if we're going to express touch, we have to recognize that there are some kinds of touch, or some ways that touch can be interpreted, that do not help another person feel loved and accepted, but actually make people feel uncomfortable. So just to say that there are different kinds of touch for different relationships, and to make this a little more specific, guys especially have to be really aware of this in our culture. And I try to practice this. When I receive hugs and give hugs here, I'm very aware of who I'm hugging and how I'm hugging. It's not the same way that I would hug Lauren, for instance. And there are some people that I don't really hug, because it's just the likelihood of that touch being misinterpreted by that person or by someone else is greater. So here's the principle, okay? Love is not afraid to touch the untouchable. But love will keep us from touching the vulnerable or people who might not receive love in that form. And for those situations, you just have to figure out other ways to express your love besides physical touch, okay? All of that said, we cannot ignore the importance of physical touch, first of all, to our humanity. As I said, it is important to us as human beings that we experience appropriate physical touch. So no matter how helpful technology can be, it is not going to help us overcome our embodiedness and our need to be touched. We need the physical presence of a community. Just like Isaiah, back in the passage, you might be saying, why are we reading this Isaiah 6 passage throughout Advent? And the reason is because it's so sensory. That Isaiah experiences God in such sensory ways. So when he feels guilt, what happens? The angel brings a coal and touches his mouth with it. He needs that physical touch to really experience his cleanness and his forgiveness in the presence of God. We need that physical touch. We need to be engaging as human beings in firm handshakes that communicate trust. We need, when we are grieving and weeping, to be embraced in someone who loves us's arms. And yes, if we are married, we need to give and receive the full spectrum of human touch, from love taps to the physical closeness of sexual intimacy. This is how we were made as embodied people, that these touches affect us into our souls. And you don't have to be embarrassed that I said that. It's part of our humanness, and touch is important to our humanness. We cannot ignore the importance of physical touch to our humanity, and nor can we ignore the importance of physical touch to ministry. What does that mean? Well, I think all of you, most of you understand and feel that it's easy for us to hug our parents or our kids, to hug our best friends or our church family. But none of that is really the point here in Mark 1. You see, to be God's embrace to the world is to be God's embrace to the untouchables, to the smelly, to the dirty, to the disgusting, and to the diseased. These are the people we need to be touching in our ministry. So there are many people in our world, just like the man with leprosy, who are avoided physically. One example is I've heard the testimony of a number of AIDS patients. And I think we're getting maybe better in this, but many of them say, yeah, the disease, to have AIDS is one thing and all the physical ramifications. But a lot of people will say the worst part is that people are so just concerned by them that they don't get touched. They don't get hugged. People are afraid to come close to them. And that's a whole nother level to that disease. And that's true of people with lots of different kinds of physical ailments, is people are afraid to reach out and touch them. People who are out on the streets and homeless, they don't often smell like people who take a shower every day. And they're usually dirtier. than many of us are used to. And they are used to being avoided and for people keeping their distance from them. Various outcasts in our society. One of the things that we overlook sometimes in all of our ministries is that their need to be touched physically, lovingly, appropriately. So here are some examples for how I try to practice the ministry of physical touch and when I think it is especially important. One of the areas is when we have like a Feed My Sheep dinner. Or I was at New Vision last week, and when we interact with people who tend to be maybe homeless people, or a tent city is another example for that. And I know that these are people who do not always experience physical touch. And so I will go out of my way to pat someone on the shoulder, to shake a hand and to put another hand on there, with guys, right? Okay, so again, appropriate touch and boundaries there. But those are places where people need to experience that touch. And so it's important to go out of our way to do that with them. I was at the Point Place Care and Rehab Center this past week, and we do a worship. Pastors in the Point rotate a worship service weekly. And people in those care facilities are used to being touched medically, but may not be used to being touched lovingly. And so what I try to do is, after we're done with the worship service, to go around to each person who's there and put my hand on their shoulder or on their knee or hold their hands, both of their hands in mine, because they need to experience that physical touch. And there are some times, and some of you have experienced this, that if I'm praying with you on an individual one-on-one basis, I might ask to put my hand on your shoulder, or if you want to hold hands. Because there is something in that touch that communicates something beyond just the words of a prayer. That there's this spirit working amongst us. So those are some examples of how I think physical touch is really appropriate and necessary in ministry. So how can you do that? How can you apply that? When you're at Feed My Sheep or Tent City, or if you're going to serve lunch at St. Paul's next week, that's an opportunity to not be afraid to rub arms with someone because you're so close to them, to sit in the next seat with them, to shake their hands, to pat them on the shoulder. Practice that physical touch. Maybe this week you find someone who is in need of prayer. And you can ask them if you can pray for them, and ask them if you can put your hand on their shoulder while you do it, so that they don't just know that you're praying for them, but they know that you're not afraid of them. You know that you're there. They know that you're there for them. And try and practice that this week. Whether you pray out loud or silently, just put your hand on their shoulder and ask them if you can do that. And put your hand on their shoulder and let them know you're there. God became flesh so that we could feel God's touch. You see, God didn't just say that he loved the world. God sent his Son to live in it, to touch the faces of people with leprosy, to pass bread at the table with his friends. And at the end of the story in Revelation, it doesn't say that all of our sorrows are just going to go away and God is going to pass us a box of tissues to wipe away our tears. It says that God himself will wipe away every tear from our eye. Have any of you ever had someone wipe tears away from your eyes? That's an intimate moment. And that's what God says he's going to do. To reach out and touch us and wipe those tears away. God came in the flesh so that we could feel God's touch. So how are you, children of God, helping the world to know a God who stretches out his hand and touches the untouchable? Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for coming to this earth and for touching the face of this man with leprosy. And I pray that you would help us, when we think of you, to see a God who is reaching out to touch us and heal us. And Lord, help us to be wise and fearless as we minister your grace and your love to others. And if there are people we're nervous to get close to, help us to remember this picture and to reach out our hands and to allow them to experience your embrace. Amen.